This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Turks, Jake, you're Atticus Spare with you guys. We bring you an interesting combo tonight. We're the only news show that talks about our moods. I'm in a jubilant mood, which will be ruined instantly the minute we hit the first story. But for now, I'm in a great mood. Anna's in a bit of a salty mood. So we're going to have a fascinating salt and pepper show here for you guys. Later in the show, crotches will be burnt.
Oh my God.
Jesus. But it's true. There's a story about a guy whose crotch is on fire, but there's a relevance to it. You'll see.
And you know what? We don't even feel bad that we're going to talk about it.
No, we don't feel bad.
We don't feel bad. No. So if you don't like it, sorry.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about crotches on fire.
Hashtag fire crotch.
But first, substance.
Okay, that might be in the bonus episode. Hey, members, it's got its privileges. You know, are you guys a bit of an American hero and deserving of privileges? I guess.
If you're not a member and you're going to miss the amazing stories we have in the bonus episode, are you going to be super bitter about it?
I guess. So one way to alleviate that, obviously, is tyt.com/join. Or if you have Amazon Prime, tyt.com/prime. Or hit the fun little join button below on YouTube. All right, so guys, we do have super fun stories a little bit later in the program. Obviously, it's the news, so we have super serious stories too. Let's do them both. Anna, proceed.
All right. Al Rimal, the only laboratory that processes coronavirus tests in Gaza, is now temporarily inoperable after airstrikes, Israeli airstrikes, of course, hit a building nearby, and then, of course, damaged this particular building. Now, due to the blockade of the Gaza Strip, there has been severe shortages of medical supplies in the area due to the pandemic, or during the pandemic, I should say. And so the situation was already dire, and it is now devolved further as a result of this ongoing apartheid and conflict. Now, the strike, which targeted a separate building in Gaza City, sent shrapnel and debris flying across the street, damaging the lab and the administrative offices of the Hamas-run health ministry. One ministry employee was hospitalized and in serious condition after shrapnel struck him in the head. Now, it is interesting that it's referred to as Hamas-run, because while the New York Times has referred to it as Hamas-run, there's really no indication that it was run by Hamas. It's run by doctors who are coping with severe medical shortages, medical supply shortages as a result of the blockade. But nonetheless, I'll give you more details. Rami Abadallah, the director of the Gaza Ministry's Infection Control Department, said that the lab would also be temporarily unable to process results for other tests related to HIV, hepatitis C, and other conditions. And I should also note that in regard to the pandemic, there's a huge disparity between the Israelis and the Palestinians in regard to the coronavirus vaccine. Only 1.9% of Gazans have received full vaccination. And remember, there's 2 million people in Gaza, and that's as of Monday, compared with 56% in Israel. So considering the fact that this was the only place where people living in Gaza could get testing for coronavirus and other diseases. This is pretty much a disaster. The medical workers who operated out of that building claim that it will be temporarily shut down for about a day. But based on the damage that's been described to it, including damage to their computer systems, obviously damage to the building itself, that seems unbelievable to me, but we'll see what happens. Cenk.
Okay, so first of all, to be fair to Israel in this case, they did not hit the lab directly. They hit a nearby building and shrapnel flew into the lab. Because I was worried that I was gonna read the story and they were gonna say, well, you know, Hamas was hiding within the doctors and the nurses and the patients and we had to blow up the hospital. And that is not the case here. Okay, they hit a nearby building, which is already bad enough, and it affected the lab. But a direct targeting of the lab would have been a different level. And yes, schools and hospitals have been hit before. But guys, again, look, I want you to, let's think about it as a city we know, because you don't know Gaza, the overwhelming majority of you. Like, let's say New York City, right? Imagine living in New York City, but you cannot leave. There's a blockade and you have no choice but to stay in Manhattan, right? And then there's a foreign government just dropping bombs on random buildings in New York, saying, hey, there's terrorists hiding in those buildings. You know it, you don't know it, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we give you advance warning, a lot of times we don't give you advance warning. The advance warning is often a tiny amount of time, etc. But either way, we're dropping bombs and buildings are going under and people are dying left and right in the middle of Manhattan. But you don't know where it's gonna land. You have no idea if it's in the building you're in or not. Imagine the terror, the unbelievable terror, right? And that's what they're living through right now. So in this case, the coronavirus lab is a collateral damage to that terror campaign. So now let's turn to.
And you're right, Cenk, it is different. It is different from when, say, Israel conducted an airstrike on a shelter, killing 4 out of the 5 children that one man has, including his wife. It's different from directly, you know, bombing a shelter as they did over the weekend, or directly bombing a building that international media operates out of. It is different. So let's just be clear about that. You're right to bring that up. Yeah. But no credit to Israel. No credit to Israel. I don't care if they were intentionally attacking that particular building or if they were attacking a building nearby, which of course it's gonna cause collateral damage. They know that, they don't care.
No, I know that, of course. And look, but there's still, look, our jobs tell you all the facts and you do with them as you please. So to me, if they hit a tunnel that is, especially if it's near the border, not near buildings, and it was where they were smuggling weapons in, that seems like an incredibly legitimate target. And sometimes Hamas will say, oh, there were civilians in the tunnel. Well, there should be no civilians in a tunnel where you're smuggling weapons in and out of, right? Now, having said that, I just told you, it's an open air prison and they're dropping bombs. They claim discriminately, oftentimes it appears indiscriminately, or if it is discriminately, did you mean to kill the 8 kids in that one bombing that Anna just reported? There was a 4 from one family, and then his brother and his sister-in-law were also, we're talking about a guy that was interviewed, were in that building and they had 4 kids. So 8 kids dead in that one bombing. So was that discriminate or indiscriminate? Is that better or worse than the civilians that Hamas kills? And my entire life, I've been told that the civilians that Hamas kills are very valuable and Hamas is despicable terrorists. But the civilians that Israel kills do not matter. They're just collateral damage, right? And Israel is lovely for killing them because they had it coming. So that's just the reality of how it's reported in America. You know, I don't know how it's reported in other parts of the world, but that's the news that we've gotten here our whole lives. Now, this one's been covered a little bit differently. Again, we're fair about that. And I think the media in America has done a better job in the coverage in this case. Now, but I wanted to address the point about Hamas running the lab. You know why they run the lab? Because they run everything. In America, we say Hamas, terrorists, dark Arab terrorists, right? And there's some truth to that. They do kill civilians, and that is what we colloquially call terrorism. Now, when a state does it, and when America does it, Saudi Arabia, Israel, etc., does it, we don't call it terrorism. Now, that makes no sense at all. When we kill civilians, it's also terrorism. And especially in this case, where you're dropping bombs in the middle of very populated cities and oftentimes hitting schools and hospitals. I remember asking Dave Rubin about that when he used to be on this network. Sorry about that. Not about the question, but about him being on this network ever. And he, like a coward, he refused to answer the question because yes, hitting a school with kids in it no matter what your justification, is horrific. Continuing that occupation is horrific, etc. But I tell you all that because Hamas won the elections. Bush wanted to have elections.
Exactly.
And Bush insisted back then on having elections, and everybody said Hamas was going to win. He's like, oh, no way. Israeli friendly allies will win. On which planet? No. And so, of course, Hamas won the elections. And immediately we said, oh, throw democracy in the trash. We don't care about democracy. We were just kidding. It was just a CIA cover story, right? And so now that the guys that we didn't want to win, we'll just call them terrorists for the rest of the time. But wait, do they also run schools? Do they also run labs and hospitals? Do they also have doctors? Yes, you know why? Because they run the place. They do all the good things, they do some bad things, just like Israel. And I know that if you're mainstream media, your heads will explode. You cannot compare dirty terrorist Palestinians to beloved Israeli allies. Yes, yes, I can. I just did it.
There's so many parallels between how the United States handles things and what we're seeing in this, you know, in the situation between Israelis and Palestinians, right? We love democracy. Democracy is great unless it's inconvenient, right? Like, so in the case of Gaza and their election of Hamas, we want democracy. We want them to elect their leaders, and then they elect their leaders. No, we don't like them. So we're gonna go ahead and support a blockade. We're going to support endless, incessant aggression toward the Palestinians by the Israeli government, in this case, the right-wing Israeli government. Like, I don't wanna hear anyone come at me with, no, but Israel's in the right because it's the only democracy in that region. It's the only democracy. Is it really? Is it really a democracy?
No.
Does a democracy support the bombing of a building where international media is operating out of? Is that what a democracy is? I don't think that's a democracy.
I don't think
a democratic regime would be in favor of doing that.
Well, Anna, look, I actually think, to be fair, democracies do often do that. We support the bombing of many civilian places. We killed hundreds of thousands of civilians in Iraq.
I question whether we live up to a democracy in the United States as well. I think your point overall is well
taken, because I'm going to stop calling Israel a democracy. You can't have a 50-year odd occupation and say, but we let some people vote. No. And look, you can have a fair argument over it. America had so-called democracy for a long time, but they didn't let black people vote. They didn't let women vote for a majority of this time, right, in this country. So you can say, hey, was that really a democracy? And that's a good and fair question. When you occupy millions of people and they're not allowed to vote and you rule their lives and there's nothing they could do about it, that's not really the modern definition of a democracy. So you can spare me that, oh, democracy for the people we like and oppression for the people we are bigoted against. Okay, if that's your definition of a democracy, and for a lot of right wingers it is, okay, you can have at it, Hoss. But to most rational people, that is not a democracy. And let me just note one other thing. The brutality of the occupation is in everything. It's in the dehumanizing, demeaning checks all over these areas, like the West Bank, etc., trying to get into Israel. They can't control your own borders. You can't even bring medicine in when you need to. But also look at that number, 56% of Israelis vaccinated. They did a great job, and I give them credit for vaccinating their own citizens better than almost any country did, and certainly better than America. And I applaud that, that's wonderful. 2% of the people in Gaza. Why? A lot of medical supplies are not allowed in. There's not the same resources.
Because they don't see them as human, Cenk. They don't see them as human. Who cares if they die? They know the devastation that would be caused during a pandemic while a blockade is implemented. It's no different than what the United States is doing to Iran, the people of Iran, with our ridiculous sanctions. How many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Iranians are gonna die as a result of our sanctions because Trump decided he wanted to rip up that Iran nuclear deal?
Yeah, and so finally, let me get to our culpability here in America. Joe Biden said he was gonna do much better than Trump. Well, let's just review quickly. So Trump said Mohammed bin Salman will have no consequences for beheading and dismembering journalists who work for the Washington Post. Biden agreed. He said, yes, he did do it, but there will be no consequences. 0-1. Okay, then when it comes to the refugee cap, Biden said Trump's refugee cap was immoral, it was unacceptable. We have all these refugees all across the world trying to come here and they're legitimate, etc. And then he kept Trump's refugee cap. So that's 0-2. So I guess he's also immoral. His words, okay? Look, I forget if he said the exact word immoral, but that was certainly the context of his description of that cap that he decided to agree with after he became president. And then you'd go to Iran. What Trump did in ripping up the Iran deal, unacceptable, ridiculous. We had a great deal that Biden and Obama negotiated, and it was a great deal. So obviously we're gonna go right back into it. No, hasn't gone back to it. And right now, in effect, has the same exact policy as Trump, 0 for 3.
Exactly.
And now on Israel, the butcher of Jerusalem, Netanyahu, killing these civilians over and over again, dozens of children killed. And Joe Biden didn't just look the other way. He gave him a green light. He would not call for a ceasefire for day after day after day. He blocked UN resolution after UN resolution and said, Netanyahu, green light, keep killing, keep killing. I know it's for your own political purposes because you couldn't form a cabinet and your corruption hearings were coming up. But hey, I'm trying to look out for my friend, the butcher of Jerusalem, like I looked out for the butcher of Riyadh. And so you see how I'm so much better than Trump. No, I don't actually. On foreign policy, you seem nearly identical.
Yeah, it seems like he's using his foreign policy to pander to his right-wing supporters. Maybe the Bush-era Never Trump Republicans who decided to vote Democrat this time around, while trying to appeal to progressives by at least rhetorically supporting bold domestic policy and federal spending on social safety net programs. There isn't much of a fight in actually getting those programs accomplished. Notice we haven't really talked about the infrastructure bill. I don't see him fighting for the American Families Plan. What happened to that?
By the way,
what is he doing now as his political capital is being drained away? What is he doing?
Nothing.
He's doing nothing on Israel, right? Crap on other foreign policy issues. And where's the fight when it comes to the bold FDR-like domestic policy that he's been championing? Please.
By the way, progressives in DC, do I get to say I told you so? I don't care if you're offended by it. You thought he was the next FDR.
No, don't worry, Cenk. They're tweeting. Don't worry.
I told you that after that speech he gave, the basically the State of the Union, that he would get nothing done afterwards. Here we are at nothing land. And it's not because I'm skeptical by nature. No, I told you the exact reasons. And I told you how he wasn't going to fight and he didn't fight. I told you that he doesn't actually believe in being progressive when it comes to foreign policy, obviously, right? But also in domestic policy, he largely agrees with Joe Manchin. So he's letting Joe Manchin burn his policy domestically. And I was right, and you all were wrong. You were thrilled with your access to power, and I told you be careful. That's just for your own pleasure and ego, and it won't affect legislation at all. But you kept calling him FDR. Who was right and who was wrong? Well, okay, you can say, oh, no, you'll see. Oh, great, I'm looking forward to it. Next couple of years, he's gonna be FDR, and he's gonna take on Manchin, he's gonna win, he's gonna pass the For the People Act, including the anti-corruption parts, he's gonna get $15 minimum wage, he's gonna get all that stuff, he's gonna get a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. The fact that you don't know that none of that is gonna happen is actually incredibly sad.
I just have one question for the DCCC. How are you gonna encourage people to vote for you guys? You guys can't get anything done. They have both the House and the Senate, they have the presidency. They can't get anything done. So how are you gonna convince Americans? Oh, no, this election though, this election is the most important election of a lifetime, most important. No one is gonna buy your crap anymore. Because you guys can't get anything done. And yes, the Progressive Caucus deserves a lot of blame because in opportunities to vote as a block, to withhold their votes as a block, they have refused to do it. So yes, they deserve some blame as well. Get off Twitter and get something done. Let's take a break.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
During the break. Listen, guys, tonight we got Wozniak, okay? So take a trip over there. It's a pleasant place. It's our show on Twitch. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern tonight with Woz Lombre. And so Woz is at twitch.tv/TYT. You're not surprised by that. That's our address on Twitch. Okay, so that's tonight after our shows at 7 o'clock. Check out Woz there. Okay, now go to the member section. Carl Tuckerson, get it? Wrote in, they have hit hospitals, UN schools, refugee camps, etc. before, so I wouldn't give them cookies for not hitting this particular clinic this time. So that's the opinion of Anna as well. Thanks for writing in. Theater Goddess wrote in, there's a possibility that there could be a Gaza variant of COVID because they haven't been allowed to treat it properly. If it happens, Israel would undoubtedly make a lot of noise about it, further villainize the Palestinians for being inept. Isn't it too far of a stretch to think that the clinic being collateral damage being purposeful? Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm still naive, but I don't think that the collateral damage in this case was purposeful. The bombs are not that smart to begin with, let alone smart enough to hit the nearby building and just cause collateral damage to the lab. But you're right about the point about oftentimes the Palestinians will be blamed for any kind of medical situation that arises in Gaza or the West Bank. They'll call them incompetent and they'll say, oh yeah, those inept Palestinians. Of course, they couldn't run themselves, leaving out critical facts about how they actually can't control their own borders and bring in what they want. And by the way, have enough business and a positive economy that would create a better health situation overall. None of those things are within their control, but yes, they will generally be blamed. Now, Carlson is a lying mother, Tucker writes in. I don't make the handles, folks. I wonder why they never show these quote unquote rockets that the Palestinians are firing at the Israelis. I would think this would be the kind of thing that the Israelis would like us to see in order to justify their war crimes. Is it possible that these rockets, again in quotes, are minuscule and being referred to as rockets in order to make them sound like missiles? Well, yes and no. So are the rockets real? Yes, they are real. Did they really fire, you know, a couple of thousand of them? Yes, they did. Did most of them get intercepted by Iron Dome? Yes, thank God that prevented civilian deaths. Are they missiles like the Israelis or the Americans have? No, definitely not. They are much smaller, but do they kill people? Definitely, 10 Israelis are dead in the last count that I saw. So don't minimize them too much, but no, they're not the sophisticated missiles that we have. So that's the proper context, we'll be back. back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Anna, and you guys with us, including Federico Aguilar, James Gilfillan, and Casey Haskins, who all just joined by hitting the join button below on YouTube. You guys are the best. Thank you. It allows us to do this strong show where we can give you real facts and our analysis of it. So we appreciate it and we love doing the show together with you guys. All right, Anna.
There is bipartisan support for a commission, much like the 9/11 commission, to investigate the Capitol riots that took place on January 6th. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is very much against it and released a statement trying to explain why, but I'll tell you what's actually going on and decode it for you. He says, quote, given the political misdirections that have been marred or have marred this process, given the now duplicative and potentially counterproductive nature of this effort, and given the speaker's short-sighted scope that does not examine interrelated forms of political violence in America, I cannot support this legislation. Now, the legislation he's referring to is the legislation that the Democratic and Republican leadership in the House Homeland Security Committee agreed on. So this is going to be brought forward for a floor vote. We'll see what happens with it. But some are worried that McCarthy's pushback against this legislation could convince others, other Republicans, to no longer support the formation of this commission. Now, let me put my cards on the table and let you know that I think that the commission is unnecessary. And I'm worried that this 9/11 style commission is going to do nothing more than beef up the security state and punish us rather than actually investigate what happened, ensure that we get white supremacists out of the police ranks. The 9/11 commission led to more intelligence, like more intelligence community. The director of national intelligence is a relatively new thing, and it started after the 9/11 commission was done with their investigation. So I don't agree with beefing up the security state. I do think there are problems within the military and within law enforcement regarding, you know, white supremacists and white supremacy, and we need to root that out. But I don't think that this commission will do that. So my cards are on the table. With that said, Kevin McCarthy pushing back against the formation of this commission has nothing to do with the reasons that he outlined, which are crap reasons if you ask me, and everything to do with the fact that he's trying to protect himself and he's trying to protect Donald Trump. Remember, as the insurrection was taking place, he called Donald Trump and demanded that Trump release a statement to stop the insurrectionists from doing what they were doing. And we don't know how that call went down. If this commission actually happens, it's very likely that McCarthy will be subpoenaed. It's likely that Trump will be subpoenaed. And so this is a bunch of, honestly, weak clowns like McCarthy, terrified about being implicated in this investigation. So that's why he's pushing back against this legislation. No one else in the media will lay it out for you. That's what's really happening here. It has nothing else to do with like, oh, well, you know, I really wanted to investigate that shooting that took place. You know, the shooting that impacted Republicans during a baseball game, but they're not talking about investigating that. So as a result, I'm against this commission. No, you're not against the commission for that reason. What a pathetic fool, Cenk.
Okay, you remember that guy, the Republican, who the other day said, oh, the Capitol rioters, they were just like, they look like normal tourists to me. A picture came out of him today barricading the door on January 6th. He was like one of the panicked people barricading the door so they didn't get in and kill him. Now he's turned around and he's at the feet of Donald Trump, licking his shoes feverishly. Yes, they were tourists, massa. They were tourists trying to kill us. You were right to send them. You were right to send them. Okay? And that's Kevin McCarthy's the same kind of dog. Yep. So Kevin McCarthy called Trump, and there is another Republican who heard the call, and this is what Kevin McCarthy is worried about testifying about. And Kevin McCarthy said, can you please make them stop? And Trump apparently told him, I guess they're more concerned about the elections than you are, Kevin. In other words, yeah, I sent my brown shirts to hunt you guys down. And maybe they kill you this time. If they don't, maybe they kill you next time. That'll teach you to be concerned. And here is Kevin McCarthy like a dog licking Donald Trump's boots.
Yep.
Okay, so that's the reality of politics. And let's talk about the other fake parts of politics that I don't know why journalists think they can't tell you how much politicians are frauds.
That's
I don't know
why
they respect them.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they're supposed to challenge power and afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. That was the old saying. That's of course long gone. So let me tell you the reality. Why is Kevin McCarthy asking to broaden the investigation? Because he wants to distract from the point of the commission, which is, hey, what the hell happened? Why did these guys make it into the Capitol? Why was there not enough police? What happened to the National Guard? Were they supposed to come in? Who were they supposed to protect? Who gave the order to send the National Guard in? Let's try to figure this thing out so it doesn't happen again. If they were genuine, that's what they would be trying to do. And at least half of it is trying to do that. The other half is the Democrats playing politics. And that's true too. Okay, so now you turn to McCarthy. He wants to investigate Black Lives Matter and Antifa. What does that have to do? But they didn't do. They weren't there. Why are we having that conversation? He wants to investigate a shooting that happened in a baseball practice that Republicans were in back in 2017.
Why didn't you want to investigate it back then?
Yeah. What took you so long, Kevin? Because if you investigated it, you would have to investigate what? Guns. And you don't want to investigate guns. Even though Steve Scalise got shot there, he's number two Republican in the House. And by the way, that dog is like, oh, shoot me again. Who cares? NRA, give me the money, donors, give me the money. These servile, little, sad, pathetic men running around as if they're powerful. You're not powerful. You take orders from an orange clown.
Who's not even in power? Like,
yeah, I mean, you're so pathetic. You're so pathetic. So now you can say, oh, mainstream journalists will look at this and go, oh, you're not allowed to say things that are true. You can't call them pathetic. I mean, we use coded language for that. I don't care about your coded language. And by the way, you're hiding the reality from the American people. I mean, at a bare minimum, can you tell them McCarthy is obviously playing politics and looking to distract from the core of this commission? And will the Democrats use it to sometimes blame Republicans? Sure, of course they will, right? And will they then expand the security state in a way that Anna's concerned about? Probably, because that's what they normally do.
That's what they always do, okay? The victims of whatever awful thing happens in this country tend to be the ones who pay the consequences, both during the awful thing and then after the awful thing happens. Like I have no doubt in my mind that the outcome of this commission will be, you know, I think we need another intelligence agency. We don't have enough. We have hundreds of like little intelligence agencies, right? It's not just the FBI, the CIA, and they always want to add more. That's why I don't agree with this commission. I think you can investigate, and they have been investigating in both, I think in the Senate as well, but certainly in the House, they've been investigating what went down on that day. So the only question is, are these lawmakers actually going to do anything to hold the actual bad guys accountable? And they never do, they never do. So yes, I think the formation of this, if they actually end up doing it, it's political for the Democrats' purposes. And Republicans don't want it because they don't want to be held accountable for whatever role they may have played. And by the way, it's not just me who's saying this. Liz Cheney, a Republican in the House, also said something similar during a recent interview. Let's watch that video.
Now the speaker, along with at least one Republican, key Republican, have announced an agreement on a commission to look into what happened on January 6th. Should Kevin McCarthy be willing to testify before that commission? After all, he is one of the few people that we know of that was actually talking to Donald Trump while the attack was taking place.
He absolutely should, and I wouldn't be surprised if he were subpoenaed. I think that he very clearly and said publicly that he's got information about the president's state of mind that day. The elements of that commission are exactly as they should be. I'm very glad they rejected Leader McCarthy's suggestions that somehow we should dilute the commission. It's really important that it be focused just on January 6th and the events leading up to it.
So you would welcome a subpoena for Kevin McCarthy to testify to that commission?
I would anticipate that I would hope he doesn't require a subpoena, but I wouldn't be surprised if he were subpoenaed.
And that's why McCarthy is shaking in his boots. He doesn't want to be subpoenaed. He doesn't want to be on the record again saying anything that could upset Donald Trump. And all he would need to do to upset Donald Trump is tell the truth about what transpired during that phone call. So that's the real reason why Kevin McCarthy is against this commission. Because the fact of the matter is, as The Hill reports, The proposal largely mirrors a bill introduced by House Republicans in January, creating a 9/11 style commission evenly comprised of members of both parties.
Yeah, by the way, this is a classic Democratic move. The Democrats conceded they were gonna have more Democrats than Republicans on the committee because there's more Democrats than Republicans in the House. But they conceded to the Republicans that it'll be even. So the Republicans will actually get to block a lot of things in the commission because they're tied. And then the Republicans said, haha, just kidding. We still don't agree. So that's Kevin McCarthy doing that. By the way, in the Senate, they're gonna need 10 Republicans. They're gonna get 10 Republicans. This is all theater.
It's theater, but at least it brings up the fact that people like Kevin McCarthy have no backbone, right? Oftentimes we have justified criticism toward Democrats because they certainly are weak and fail at messaging. With Republicans, the one thing that they seem to be really good at is messaging, and they love to present themselves as these tough guys through their messaging. But when push comes to shove and they actually need to be strong, they cower. They cower in front of people like Donald Trump. I mean, it's a man who spent the majority of his presidency crying like a child on social media. Yep. That's who they cower in front of. And one more thing I have to add. Remember, as these rioters were entering the Capitol, as they were busting through the Capitol, what were they chanting again about Mike Pence, Cenk?
Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence.
Hang Mike Pence. So, you know, I would think that Mike Pence's brother, who's a member of the House, would very much be in favor of investigating what went down that day. You know, his brother's life was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
His life was in jeopardy. Well, when he was asked about whether he would support this commission, here's what he said. I've got to see it first, said Representative Greg Pence.
Oh my God, pathetic. They were trying to kill your brother. But you're gonna lick Trump's boots anyway.
Yep.
You know George P. Bush, Jeb Bush's son, now kissing Donald Trump's ass down in Texas. These are the saddest, saddest people. But you know, our members are fair, and I love doing the show with them. So I wanna give a word here to JoJo H, who's in our member section, tyt.com/join, do the show with us. Says Cenk has to stop calling POS Republicans dogs. Dogs are cool. We need a TYT poll to determine what we should call these miscreants. Animals are innocent. Okay, I hear you on that, brothers and sisters. But look, I'll end on this. Number one, the one thing I want the commission for is who ordered the National Guard to finally come in many, many, many hours later? Because it appears that Donald Trump did not give that order, nor did the military even ask Donald. It looks like they asked him in the beginning, but we're not sure. That's why I'm saying this is the part I want to find out. And then it looks like Mike Pence actually gave the order. So if Trump refused to give an order to send in the National Guard to save the lives of his vice president and members of the House and Senate, well, I mean, there it doesn't matter. Republicans will still cheer. Republican voters will be like, murder, murder, murder. They will. They'll chant it. They literally chanted, hang Mike Pence. It's already true, right? But at least we'll all know for sure Trump actually wanted them to commit violence. And finally, who cares about Kevin McCarthy? Why does his opinion matter? Why don't the Democrats just do a commission? Oh, having the Republicans participate will make it more credible. Will it? All the Republicans will do is block facts and block your best efforts to get at the truth. So screw them, just actually get the facts. Tell the American people that's all you need to do. You don't need their goddamn approval. So Kevin McCarthy, you don't agree with the commission. Sad day for you, you don't control the House. So go kick some sand, pound sand and see how you like it. Don't care. Go ask Donald Trump what he thinks you should do. And that's probably what you'll do. I don't care. Just have the goddamn commission. Democrats, it's called being strong. It's called leadership.
Yeah, don't even bother.
You should look into it, but I know you won't.
All right, let's move on to our next story. A North Carolina district attorney has decided that the cops who shot and killed Andrew Brown Jr. in his own car will not face prosecution. They will not be charged. Now, Andrew Brown Jr. was shot twice, even though authorities opened fire, shooting at him 14 times total. Two of the bullets hit him, one in the shoulder, the other in the back of the head. Here's what the DA said in his statement. Mr. Brown's death, while tragic, was justified because Mr. Brown's actions caused three deputies to reasonably believe it was necessary to use deadly force to protect themselves and others. Now, the cops were attempting to serve two warrants, one of which was a search warrant regarding narcotics trafficking. They refused to release any footage of what occurred. Now, we initially covered this story by sharing some details, but the footage had not been released. The family had seen a small portion of the footage. And then now we in the public can see the footage for ourselves. However, I do want to note before we go to the video that we don't see it in context. We don't know what happened before. And there's still a lack of transparency in regard to all of the body cam footage and surveillance that they have. With that said, what we're about to show you is the graphic video. It's important to see what actually occurred during the moment of the shooting, so you can determine for yourselves if you believe that Andrew Brown actually served as any type of imminent threat to the cops, which led to them opening fire. Watch. So Andrew Womble is the district attorney who made this decision. He's the prosecutor here. And so here's how he reached his decision. He said, CNN reports that in coming to his decision, Womble relied on an investigative report into the shooting conducted by the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation. The report is not considered a public record and will not be publicly released.
Yeah, so there's In other words, they're totally guilty. And if they thought the report vindicated them, do you think they might release it? Do you think the police might release the report that clearly vindicates them? They would have had that in the headlines from day one. No, they're hiding the report because they're wrong. And we have eyes. I don't know if they know that we have eyes. In the old days, there was no body cams. There was no video. And every time they would come out and say the cops were right to kill, 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 kill. And everybody in the media would say our beloved, beloved cops. Of course they were right, these monsters, these black people that endangered the lives of these poor, poor police officers. But now we have the video, they still say the same thing. So the family in the beginning had gotten a chance to look at the video recently. And they said it was an execution. Now, I never said that because I hadn't seen the video. And sometimes somebody will have a gun, etc. And you don't know. You don't know the context. Well, I just saw the video. They drove up. First of all, they drove up like he was Osama bin Laden with SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
I don't know what his alleged crimes are. Right?
Yeah. So let me give some detail into that because I do think it's important.
Yeah. And then I'm going to come back to what you saw in the video, what we all saw.
Yeah. So there's more video showing the cops arrive. They're in the back of what appears to be like a pickup truck. They're in the back, like in the back of the pickup truck, in tactical gear, weapons drawn, ready to go. They claim that he served as an imminent threat, right? Which is why the prosecutors decided that he is not going to charge the cops. There were several cops on the scene, seven of them. Three of them decided to open fire. So what happened to the other four? Were the other four not afraid for their lives? Right? Like if he was an imminent threat, wouldn't all of them open fire? There were 14 bullets total. As I mentioned, two of them hit Andrew Brown Jr. And also, he's driving a vehicle. It's pretty clear that he's trying to get away. It's pretty clear that he's trying to drive away. And I'm not in any way excusing that, but to say that that constitutes an imminent threat to the officers' lives, I think is a stretch. And more importantly, if the officers are worried about the loss of life, maybe don't shoot at an individual operating a vehicle as he's driving away, because he might crash into a house, he might crash into a pedestrian, he might, after you shoot him and kill him as he's operating the vehicle, run into an innocent bystander and kill them.
Yeah.
That's something to consider. I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I don't need any more context. I don't care. Look, we militarized the police. I guess they thought he was El Chapo or Bin Laden or whoever they thought he was. No, they don't, of course, think any of that. They just wanted to be cowboys. Oh, yeah, I got these big giant weapons and I want to use it. Oh, my God, this guy's so dangerous and I heard he's black. Let's go get the guy, right? And so then they drive. But guys, we saw it. You can rewind and watch it. I don't need any more context. He drove away and they shot him from the back. We've shown you other videos where the guy, you can't tell, is he driving towards the cops or is he not exactly driving towards the cops? Could the cops have thought that they were gonna get run over? But you just saw the video. Nobody thought those cops were gonna get run over, and they shot him not while he was coming at them theoretically, because he wasn't, by the way, and he was turning around. But even as the turn was happening, if they shoot him, they say, okay, well, maybe they thought he might swerve back. No, but they shot him as he had turned and was leaving. That is an execution. You can say, oh, well, but Cenk, let's be fair. We were gonna be embarrassed if he got away. We brought it in what we thought was SEAL Team 6, and we were all gonna have a beer after we killed him. But now it looked like he was gonna get away, and oh, that would have been embarrassing. So we just decided to execute him on the spot. Guys, this is, and then the prosecutor, the DA saying, yes, if you, running away from the cops, bad. Is it a death penalty? Apparently it is. No,
yeah.
But literally. Yep. There's that, the prosecutor in North Carolina is telling you, if you disrespect the cops, you don't follow their orders, you run away, whatever it is, they're allowed to murder you.
One more
They're
quote.
Allowed to execute you on the spot. You just saw it.
One more quote from Andrew Womble, the district attorney. He says, quote, if you employ a car in a manner that puts officers' lives in danger.
Oh, shut up, you coward.
That
you
is a
goddamn
threat.
Coward. Okay, you thought that was in your life was in danger because he might have run over your toe? We just saw the video. Before, when you liars lied nonstop about black people in America, everybody in media who were idiots and also with terrible intent said, yes, of course, all the cops are always right and the black people are always wrong. Minorities are always wrong. Latinos are wrong, blacks are wrong. They're all guilty. The cops are beloved angels who never lie. But we just saw the video.
No, but there's
the
more.
Biggest danger was maybe your toe would have been grazed. And you murdered him for that. And the prosecutor says, go get him, champ. Kill him again. That's what this country's about. That's what happened in North Carolina. That's the reality. They say, oh, black people are too angry. I honestly don't think they're angry enough. How many of them are going to get murdered?
Cenk, the second part of that statement though, and I feel like you're gonna blow a gasket, but you should, everyone should, because the second part of the statement from this district attorney is very relevant. And I don't care what direction you're going, forward, backwards, sideways, I don't care if you're stationary, and neither do our courts and our case law.
Oh, you monster.
That's right.
That's the guy who's supposed to, Andrew Womble, he's not gonna prosecute a cop ever. Ever, he just told you, I don't care if you're sitting in your car. That's what stationary means. I don't care if you're sitting in your car. If a cop comes and you even look at him sideways, he's allowed to execute you. Death sentence. For not listening to a cop. I've said this on the show for 20 straight years. Everybody watching knows. The biggest crime in America is not found in any actual law, disrespecting a police officer. There is no law that says you're not allowed to disrespect a police officer, but that is the quickest way to a death sentence in this country. And we all tolerate it like it's normal. Our beloved angel cops, and oh my God, well, of course, if you are impolite to an officer and think about it, conservatives say, oh, I hate big government. But if you tell a government official, that's what a police officer is. If you tell a government official something he doesn't quite like, he's allowed to put a bullet in your head. That's not an exaggeration. You heard what happened. Andrew Brown Jr. died of a bullet in the head.
In the back of the head. We gotta take a break. When we come back, a judge tried to run over protesters. Allegedly. We'll show you the video. You can judge for yourselves. See you in a few minutes.
on the Young Turks. Lots of comments here. I'll try to get through them as quickly as I can. Eclectic Miscellanea says, Anna's fiery critique of the DCCC is exactly why I love TYT. No holds barred, unlike the mainstream media. When Cenk's on a roll and makes his final point before going to break, he shouts Young Turks, which I love. What should Anna's be? Also the Young Turks? I don't think she should do this, but I think the shouting Salt Dragon would be hilarious.
Oh my God, no.
Yes, that would be hilarious, but would kind of defeat the point of being actually angry.
That would be the goofiest thing ever.
That's right. Yes, but fun suggestion to lighten the mood. Mickey C. the Silver Hair Dragon writes in, I guess that McCarthy forgot that the FBI under Trump's pick of the for head announced that there is no such organization as Antifa. His side said it. That it's just an ideology. Of course, conveniently, they all forget that. LJ Wombology writes in, House Democrats need to tell McCarthy and the Republicans to kick rocks, but at the same time, they might need a commission to determine if kicking rocks is bipartisan enough of a snub. It's funny, LJ, thank you. This is all in our member section, tyt.com/join. The hippie shake with an excellent point. So you can legally run down a protester with a car if you feel endangered for your life, but when a dozen armed commandos come running up on you, you don't have a right to drive away. What a country. I had it in my notes to say the same thing. I forgot because I got so angry. Edwin said the same thing as soon as we went to break. So thank you for pointing that out. And we'll make that point in the next story, which is exactly about that. Going back to the Palestinian issue for a second, Laredo criticized me, which I really like, guys. Just I like the constructive critique and I love it when you bring it with facts. Wrote in, Cenk, you keep missing this point. Under international law, the occupying power has no rights, only responsibilities, namely the protection of the occupied peoples, whereas those who are occupied may defend themselves by any means necessary. So no, Israel cannot legally bomb the tunnels. I hear you on that, and that's a fair point about international law. I wasn't talking about international law, I was talking about the realities of what the international community, I don't know that it matters, right, would find acceptable and not acceptable. And luckily, finally, not only the international, but some portions of the American community are saying, yeah, bombing in the middle of a crowded city and having all those kids die is not acceptable. Whereas I know that they would think that bombing the tunnels are acceptable for whatever that's worth. But thank you for clarifying international law. Sadiq Darwan and Tabrak Al-Jaburi just joined by hitting the join button below. Thank you guys, we're stronger together. We're gonna keep bringing that truth and we're gonna drive positive change in the world. We'll be right back. Back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Just real quick, Friday we're gonna have a fun announcement for you guys. This is called a teaser because we're not gonna tell you what it is. Drums. All right, check it out on Friday's show. I think you guys will love it. And don't forget, membership makes the show possible. TYT.com/join. All right, Anna.
All right. A newly released video appears to show an appeals court judge in North Carolina attempting to run over protesters with his car. Now, these are Black Lives Matter protesters. The video that we're about to show you luckily isn't graphic because he didn't actually run them over. But before we go to the video, let me just give you some of the testimony from one of the protesters. One of them, Maya Warren, swore before the Cumberland County magistrate that Judge John M. Tyson was driving the SUV that nearly hit her and other protesters. A court summons was issued. Once served, it will order him to appear in a Cumberland County courtroom next month to answer to a charge of assault with a deadly weapon. So with that said, with that context, let's take a quick look at the video and determine what the intention of this judge was. So you see him, he's in the SUV, you see the protesters, he's driving. An important context, a piece of context, is that he was driving around a few times. And the lane that you see him in right now is where there is a Black Lives Matter mural. Right here, I believe, is the moment that's relevant. No, not yet. He's gonna go around again. He's driving in a lane that is not meant for vehicles because of the Black Lives Matter mural there. And it's coming, you see him, he's still driving in the lane that he's not supposed to be driving in. And at one point, he gets awfully close to the protesters. Here it is, I think. Not yet. Was that it?
Yeah, I think it's when he hits the brakes finally, because the person's in the street. So guys, there's a couple of pieces of context that's important. Number one, as Anna pointed out, obviously you're not supposed to drive in that lane for a reason. And you can see that the protesters are smushed against that fence. And they needed extra space. So they're not wrong to be in that lane, the protesters.
Correct.
Right? And so why is the judge driving around and around and around that same circle that the protesters are in? And so that's a good question. Will he get prosecuted? Because he didn't actually hit them, right? And so that's, you can see that on the tape clearly as well. And the whole tape's 12 minutes long, and there's interpretations of what he did throughout that 12 minutes. And I don't know. We'll see if he's in some significant trouble or not. But I do know this. We just did the story of Andrew Brown Jr., who was shot 14 times and killed by police for driving away from police, shot in the back of the head as he was driving away. And so, and the police and the prosecutors agreed, said, well, the vehicle is a very dangerous, lethal weapon. And so he should have been executed on the spot for driving by police officers. Andrew Brown Jr. did not hit any police officers. In fact, he swerved away from them and drove away, and they executed him for it. Now, here's a judge driving towards protesters. I'm not saying you should use the same logic, but if you use the same logic, you would say he was just trying to commit a federal, not a federal offense, but a death penalty offense. Someone who was trying to use a lethal force against people, and he should have been executed. Of course, I don't believe that, but this is both in North Carolina, by the way.
Yep.
So what does the state of North Carolina believe? Is the vehicle a dangerous weapon meant to, that if you drive in near anyone, you're trying to kill them, or no? Because it seems like they have very different responses based on whether the person doing it is black and powerless, or white and powerful.
So let me give you more context, because look, I'm gonna be honest, watching that video, it's questionable that he's driving in that lane. I think based on that video, a case can be made that he was attempting to maybe intimidate the protesters. But also based on that video, I don't know if I'm buying that he almost hit them, right? Because the way that it's being reported is he almost hit them and he missed them by like inches. That's not what I see in the video. So I want to be honest, I want to be clear about that. And so after I watched that video, I'm like, I need to know more about this judge, right? Because I don't want to needlessly accuse someone of malicious intent unless there's any indication, right? And apparently there's some indication. So I did a little extra research, here's what I found. Dispatch calls obtained by the Observer revealed that Tyson's the judge. Tyson called to report that they, meaning the protesters, were people in the street blocking traffic. Obviously, that's not the case. And that they were coming around his car. Also, clearly not the case.
Total liar.
Video released by the city doesn't show protesters gathering near Tyson's vehicle. And as we mentioned before, and we'll mention again, A police spokesperson has said that the lane, which has a mural painted on it, is not open for traffic. Why was he driving in that lane?
Over and over and over again. Okay, so look, guys, I'd be surprised if he got convicted. And I don't want people to think that I think the North Carolina standard in Andrew Brown Jr. case is correct. It is massively incorrect. What he did, what the judge did, is not anywhere near a death penalty case, let alone any kind of conviction. Okay, so I just want them to have the same standard. And so this guy seems to have bad intent, but that doesn't mean that he's guilty of a attempted murder or anything like that. But when it's someone powerful, the car is not a deadly weapon. When it's someone powerless, all of a sudden the car is a deadly weapon and you should get killed for it.
Right.
And that's the hypocrisy I can't stand. And remember, there's now many states that have passed laws saying you can run over protesters and we will let you off. And maybe that's encouraging folks like this guy Tyson, right? Mm-hmm. To drive near protesters with all those laws now saying, no, really, you can run them over and kill them and we'll let you go. And those are coming from Republicans who say their top issue is how much they care about the First Amendment. Unless, of course, you're protesting against the government from the left, in which case people can run over you with their car and kill you.
All right, let's wrap up hour one. When we come back for the second hour of the show, Joe Rogan has some thoughts on the woke and what they're gonna do to censor white males from speaking. And later in the show, probably one of my favorite stories, Chick-fil-A is experiencing a sauce shortage. Is Joe Biden to blame? Republicans will have you believe so. We'll give you the details on that and more when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.